Good evening, and welcome to the next episode of FearoCast. Today, we are going to take excerpts from FearoFocus and kind of get some tech things going here at FearoCast, and we're going to talk about what happens when you push those buttons. That's referring to the Fearo heater and AC controls, and what they do and how to troubleshoot them if you have any issues. And then our second segment is going to be Watch Those Gauges. This segment, we will explore how the various gauges in the Fearo instrument panel operate. So again, thank you for joining me tonight. We are also pleased to announce that FearoCast has been awarded the Best Iconic American Car Brand Enthusiast Club 2023 of Illinois by Business Concepts. Business Concepts is an organization based in the United Kingdom. Published quarterly, the Business Concept brings its readership the most up-to-date insights and features of businesses with presence in digital media. The Automotive Award is a program that recognizes and celebrates the achievements of the best and the brightest in its specific industry, including manufacturing and suppliers, to dealers and service providers. Over 40 episodes and more are coming. A FearoCast has been a project that started back in 2020 for the Fearo community. So thank you again to the Fearo community for your support and listening to FearoCast. It has been a pleasure producing each and every episode for you. I am your host, Mike Croyer, and you are listening to the newest episode of FearoCast, the only podcast dedicated to the Pontiac Fearo and the Fearo community. You can find past FearoCast episodes at FearoFocus.com or on our Facebook page. If you want, you can also send us some comments to our Facebook page as well, as if you have any ideas for any future FearoCasts. We'd like to thank our FearoCast supporters for this 2024 season, the Fearo Store, Rodney Dickman, Montour Solutions, the Midwest Fearo Clubs, Golden Eye Graphic, the NIFE Store, the Northern Illinois Fearo Enthusiasts, and new for 2024, Automodella and A1 Transport. This episode tonight is brought to you by A1 Transport and the Northern Illinois Fearo Enthusiasts. With over three decades of experience in vehicle transportation, A1 Auto Transport stands as a reliable choice for Fearo Enthusiasts. Specializing in a seamless transport of Pontiac Fearos nationwide, the company takes pride in its commitment to excellence. Recognizing the unique needs of Fearo owners and collectors, A1 Auto Transport ensures the safe and efficient transportation of these iconic vehicles. Their state-of-the-art equipment and experienced drivers guarantee a smooth journey for your prized Fearo. For a worry-free Fearo transport experience, individuals can visit our website at www.a1autotransport.com. That's www.a1autotransport.com. Trust A1 Auto Transport to handle the journey of your classic ride with precision and care. Safe travels on the open road. Remember, a1autotransport.com. What are the benefits of the membership of the Northern Illinois Fearo Enthusiasts? Your annual membership of $30 helps to maintain and further expand with these benefit resources for the Fearo community and you. So, what are some of these highlighted resources? 5 club meetings each year. These Zoom-based online meetings, so you can listen anywhere in the United States or in the world. These monthly events engage with fellow club members and key members of the Fearo community to get to know them and learn more of their experiences with their Fearos. We have 2 Facebook pages, at Knife Club and at Fiorama. Our heavily updated website at FearoFocus.com is one of the best Fearo sites to get the most information for you on a Fearo or just technical stuff on the Fiero itself. What are some of these pages? We have event pages, quick access to event information for ease reference. Our award-winning FieroCast. We have a huge library of previous club meetings, past Fierorama videos, how-to videos, club and club meeting presentations. FieroFocus also has the NIFE Garage, has anything you need in the form of Fiero Tech Tips, Dr. Detail, detailing your Fiero from the workbench, over 10 Fiero-related articles from FieroFocus. We have archived Fiero Tech Tips, FieroFocus Index, the Fiero Technical Service Bulletin articles, as well as Fiero Code Reader identifications to help you learn more about what code is coming up in your Fiero. We have our Fierorama page, our page dedicated to the Fiero Club's largest event of the year. And don't forget, Fiero Focus Magazine. Fiero Focus Magazine is published bi-monthly, 6 issues per year. And to date, they have published over 200 issues over the span of 30 years. It is the most consistent, longest running publication by any Fiero organization in the world. If you are a member of NIFE, you get into Fierorama, our annual Fiero-only 3-day weekend event for free. Our membership base has always been between right around 350 members from 43 states, Canada, Puerto Rico, Germany, and Australia. Don't forget, if you're a member of NIFE, you also get a 5% discount on the Fiero Store's non-GM items in their product line. You can post ads, you can post mechanic referrals in the new bits and pieces section of the website. And don't forget, annually, a portion of all the proceeds from the NIFE merchandise sales are donated to support local charities. Want to join? Just $30? Visit FieroFocus.com. Click on the FieroFocus.com store. Click on annual membership, $30, and you're in. Thank you again for listening tonight at the newest episode of FieroCast. We hope that the what happens when you push those buttons and watch those gauges help you as a Fiero owner understand how the Fiero heater and AC control works, as well as how your gauges in your instrument panel operate. We will be posting the article and images to our Facebook page as well, so that you can kind of go back and forth and see, translate between the article and the images. But it also helps if you need to work on any of those items, that the pictures will help identify certain things as well. So we'll have all that information on our Facebook page for you to download and save. While you are on our website or Facebook page at looking at the article and images related to this FieroCast, be sure to also check out any of the upcoming events that you would like to join us on, any Zoom club meetings at FieroFocus.com and also on our Facebook page. Click on the events page, whether you're on the Facebook or our website, and you can get all the newest and greatest information on those events in both of those sites. All right. So we're going to change it up a little bit tonight, and we're going to do a little tech session. So this particular tech session is what happens when you push those buttons. So it seems though most of us in the Fiero community spend a lot of time discussing the things that often go bad with our cars. Things like weak brakes, cracked exhaust manifolds, low power, the poor handling that it gets lots of attention. Yet some things on the Fiero work just fine, seldom break, and need no improvement. So, is it time that we looked at one of those things? And that thing is the Fiero heater and AC controls. Those are one of the least troublesome components on the Fiero. Instead of using cables or vacuums as a common practice in those days, GM was actually ahead of the times and decided to use electric servos to operate the system. Lucky for us, as many of those systems are still functioning nearly 30 years later. So, with this, we'll be more of a how it works than how it breaks. So let's start with the visible part, which is the control panel that is just above the radio. If you don't have AC, you have two sliding knobs for hot and cold. And the modes plus a rotating knob for the blower speed. The sliders move these cables that we have never or rarely have seen fail, unless a pencil or mouse nest gets into the airbox doors, you likely won't have a problem here and can enjoy never having to fix the air conditioning. The air conditioning cars will still have a sliding knob for temperature and a rotating knob for the blower speed, but have a row of seven buttons for selecting the modes and engaging the AC compressor. In the 84, that has, if you look closely, has all black buttons and knobs. The 85 through 88 have all gray knobs and the buttons except for the off button, which is still black. If you need a reference, the part number for the 84 is number 160-18322, and the 85 to 88 is 160-40702. The 85 to 88 was also available with AC Delco with a part number of 15-71397. But as of June 2012, only 20 were still available. Those of you scrapping cars, look for those. Save them as soon as you can find them in the used parts, because it will be very rare that you'll be able to find them shortly after. And those are really the only ones available. The only part on the control panel that can be changed is the blower speed switch, which is the GM number 160-23827 and an AC Delco part number 15-71327. Aftermarket ones have been available, but last two, they get mounted differently. So be a little leery about that too. As far as the audible parts, there are two electric servos or actuators. When you push the button, you should hear a buzzing, weir, whine, clunk noise, as these electric motors move the air control boxes and doors to the position selected. One actuator controls the modes of the AC, the heater, the vent, and the defrost by moving three air doors. This part does most of the work. It is located just before and above the center floor panel ahead of the radio. The part number for this mode actuator is 305-2051. I have never heard of an aftermarket replacement, and since have failed GM, but most not have kept any spares, as recent check showed none in stock. So let me rephrase that. A few have failed, but GM, after looking, have only spares, and none of them recently have none in stock. So sorry for that confusion on that one. But so anyways, moving forward. So if you find them, please save them, check them, and make sure they work, and stash those away just in case yours does break down. The other actuator only operates when the max AC is selected. It does this by moving the air door from letting in outside air to recirculating the air in the car. It is also located above the center tunnel, but well hidden between the air distribution box and the firewall. It is visible when looking under the dash from the left above the gas pedal. If you need to replace that, the part number for the Max AC actuator is 305-2050. So again, GM has none in stock, and an aftermarket replacement is not available. So if you do find them, save them. And, you know, and the other thing too is there are what we call silent parts. And the silent part of this system is the hot-cold lever, which moves the cable that moves the door on the right top of the airbox. This is used for both AC and non-AC cars, and the cables are self-adjusting and seldom fail. The most common problem is damaging the plastic cable end pin on the control lever when the control panel is removed. So if you are working on it, make sure that you don't break that that piece. And the last part of the system is the blower fan. Power comes from the fuse block heater AC fuse to the blower speed switch on the control panel. And the switch selects off and three fan speeds. Low, medium speeds power is fed through the blower resistor to reduce the voltage and therefore the speed. On high speed, the switch activates the high speed blower relay. And this relay lets 12 volts of power flow directly from the fusible link to the blower motor, bypassing the resistor. So pretty interesting there. While the air distribution system is very reliable, it sometimes does fail. The most common is the blower, which won't operate at some of, if not all, speeds. If it works on some speeds, usually the high speed only, you know the blower motor is okay. If it operates on all speeds but high, it is likely the high blower relay is the one that's going bad. If it doesn't operate at any speed, it may be the blower motor itself. In the front trunk, unplug the power wire to the blower motor and apply 12 volts to it. If it is still not operating and doesn't run, you've got a bad motor. If the motor tests okay, check back at the resistors located to the right of the AC dryer. Unplug it, remove the two screws attaching it to the airbox, and remove the resistor. If it is bad, you may be able to see a broken resistor coil wire. If not, again, check it with an ohmmeter, and that will determine if it's bad or not. This part is readily available still, but different from the 84 to 85s and then the 86 to 88. So be on the lookout, look inside the opening of the door airbox for also mouse fuzz. If you find some, clean it out, as the hot resistor coils may, you know, connect with that material and start a fire. And if it is, and the resistor is okay, you have more of a rare failure, a blower switch maybe. Remove the four radio fascia screws and the fascia from the fascia. Remove the three control panel screws and pull the control out a few inches. It will be a little restricted from moving too much by the heater cable. Unplug only the blower switch and either test it, or even easier, plug it into another switch to test. But on a side note, going back to the mouse fuzz, I highly recommend, even if you drive your Fiero daily, if you store it partially, you store it off-site, make sure you always check that blower motor. Pull it out, clean it, because for some reason, there's just always mouse fuzz in there. Don't know how they get in there. Don't know why they want to get in there. But that is the most common place that you're going to want to clean out on a yearly basis after spring, before you kind of really start driving the car. So just a side note on that. So moving forward, another problem is an actuator motor failure. Usually the motor one, as the Max AC one only works on Max AC, the actuator failure is either by the motor spinning free or not spinning at all. So if the actuator just spins, it's bad. If it doesn't turn at all, you have options to test it. you can unplug the actuator and plug in the test one, or electrically test it. However, both are hard to get to, and I don't recommend this. Better to plug in a test control panel. And if you don't have an extra test panel lying around, you can temporarily borrow one from another car. Since the heater cable holds the panel in and removal can damage the cable pin, you can remove only the circuit board. So you have to remove the screw holding the aluminum cover over the circuit board. Swing it up and out to remove, then remove the lamp socket, then the three screws holding the circuit board, and remove the circuit board with buttons. Plug only this into the other car and test. If the actuator now works, you need a control panel. If not, you need the actuator. So again, we'll have all this documented too on FieroFocus.com as well. So if you need to kind of see a step-by-step, I'll point you in the right direction on how to check and see. And then there'll be some pictures and stuff too. So to completely remove the control panel, you must remove the heater cable. It is held onto the pin by a round push-on clip. You cannot save the clip, so don't even try. Cut it with a wire cutter and squeeze it with pliers. Pulling on it will break the plastic pin. You can break it or find a used one that is broken that it can be saved. Sand the pin end flat, drill a hole in it, and tap for a 2/56 screw. Hold the cable on with the screw and then a flat washer. To replace the mode actuator, first remove the radio. You will see the actuator hiding to the right of the vertical support for the dash. Squeeze and release the tab and remove the wiring plug. Remove the three screws and the actuator will come loose. This is the tough part now. The actuator shaft arm is connected to two levers inside the airbox housing. While holding the actuator as far out as possible, peek in the lower right corner of the opening and look for the forked retainer clip. You will now say a few words to the engineer who put that clip in front of that side out of that sight. And I'll let you guys, whatever nice word you want to use, I'll let you fill in the blank there. Then with a screwdriver, spin the clip to the non-forked end that faces to the right. Place a small magnet at the bottom of the opening to catch the clip if it falls. Using a small needle-nosed vice grips, grasp the clip and pull it off. Then the arm pin will pull out of the two levers. You can then remove the actuator. Reinstalling the clip is frustrating, but not impossible. It is an unlikely event you have a bad max AC actuator. Crawl under the left side of the dash, remove the wiring harness plug and the three screws. Now that engineer was kinder to us, and the clip is not only facing out, but the lever is on the outside. Since there aren't any new actuators, you'll be forced to use salvaged ones from here on out. How will you know they are good? First, you must identify the two different ones. Mode actuators have five electrical connections and on a straight arm. The Max AC actuators have three contacts with a zigzag arm. And to test the mode actuator, connect the ground to the contact number one nearest to the middle of the housing. Using a 2-amp fused jumper wire, apply 12 volts to the other contacts and see if the motor moves. Now, contact two will be the defrost. Contact three is for the vent. Contact four is for the bevel. In number five position is empty, and the number six is the heater for the floor. The Max AC actuator has only three contacts. Again, place ground at contact one. Contact two is max, which is recirculation, and number three is normal, fresh air. In effect, just make sure the arm moves and stops at a different spot with each contact powered. If it does, you have a good used actuator. Just don't hold the actuator when you do this, as they are powerful and can bite. So hopefully your air distribution system is still working after 25 to 30 years. If it does fail, I hope this helps and that those of you scrapping cars remember to save these parts for all of us in the Fuhrer community. We'd like to thank Ray Dyerson for writing this segment of FearoCast, which is called What Happens When You Push Those Buttons. Our next segment coming up is Watch Those Gauges. All right, let's jump into the next segment of FearoCast, Watch Those Gauges. In this segment, we will explore how the various gauges in the FearO instrument panel operate. Those consist of the speedometer, tach meter, voltmeter, oil pressure gauge, temperature gauge, and fuel gauge. While the basic dash instrument cluster design remained the same throughout all of FearO production, many small variations have occurred from year to year and on different trim levels. So let's start off with the ever popular speedometer. Perhaps the gauge that is the most consulted is the speedometer. When the FearO was introduced in 1984, it had an 85 mile per hour speedometer, as did most cars of the era. This was left over from the 55 mile an hour national speed limit days of the 1970s. The FearO does not drive the speedometer with a cable, but rather than an electric magnet vehicle speed sensor, or VSS, on the transmission. The VSS shaft rotates, making a seen wave voltage signal at 4,000 pulses per mile. To remove it, unplug the electric connector, remove the one attached bolt on manuals or a clip on automatic, and pull the sensor out. This is an O-ring on the sensor that sometimes leaks. You can replace it if the sensor is removed. You can see a small plastic drive gear on the end. These do fail sometimes and are easy to replace. If the drive gear inside the transmission fails, changing that, especially on a manual transmission, is the opposite of easy. To compensate the different size tires and gear ratios, the VSS drive gears were made in four different types or tooth counts, and drive gears in three types of tooth counts to vary the output speed ratio slightly. These are identified by different colors as listed on charts in the 22P parts catalog group 4.337. Now, on the 85 through 88, the four-cylinder Isuzu five speeds, the speed sensor is also the lubricant level dipstick with high-low marks visible with the sensor removed. The signal made by the VSS is fed to the instrument circuit board, not to the computer, as is more common in many other cars, where circulatory in the board converts the sine wave to a square voltage wave to drive the speedometer and two-step motors. One motor drives the odometer and the other drives the trip odometer. The gear teeth on the odometer drive motor can be damaged if you reset the trip odometer while the car is moving. The speedometer has two magnetic windings that play tug of war with each other, other to position the speedometer needle. If either of these is weak or bad, the needle will read too high or too low, or will stay at the same speed. If the needle doesn't move, it may just be slipping on the shaft. The needle center is slit so that when pushed onto the shaft, it is a light press fit. After years of use, it can loosen and slip or even fall off. Lightly squeeze the center hold tighter and press it back on. If the cruise control works, but the speedometer does not, the speedometer or circuit board may likely be faulty. Sometimes the connection is poor on the push-in spring clips behind the speedometer. If none of the gauges work, check the fuses on the gauges, which is the third fuse down on the left side of the fuse panel. The 84 FearO speedometer is different from later years in that the cruise control operation is controlled inside the actual speedometer rather than a separate control module as in the 85 to 86 models. 87 to 88, the module is controlled via the V6 or the ECM, and in the 87 to 88, four cylinders. All 85 and later speedometers are operationally interchangeable but don't look the same. The 84 to 86 gauges are front lit and can be hard to see and read in the dark, where the 87 to 88 gauges are backlit and easier to read. So If installing a used speedometer head, you can keep the original odometer reading by snapping out the number drums and switching them. On a 120 mile per hour speedometer, which was introduced with the 86 GT and 87 with the V6 SE and an 88 with the formula. This is a different swap for the 85 mile per hour unit, except for the 84 models. Little backstory on the speedometer. Now we're going to switch over to the tachometer. There are two different basic Fiero tachometers. One for the four-cylinder models and one for the six-cylinder models. They are easily differentiated by the RPM range and red line on the face. A four-cylinder has a 6,000 RPM max with 4,500 RPM red line. And the six-cylinder has a 6,500 RPM max with a 6,000 RPM red line. The same front lid back lid change took place in 87 as noted above with the speedometers. The 84 tachometer is peculiar in that it also houses the voltmeter. So, in addition, the 84 unit is the only year that has a change. So, in addition, the 84 unit is the only year that has a charge light, which shares a red square with the low oil pressure light. In 85 to 88 four-cylinder models, it has the oil pressure gauge in place of the 84's voltmeter. The six-cylinder tachometers have nothing but the tachometer, as both the oil gauge and the voltmeter have been moved to the housing above the radio. So the tachometer is like many other GM units of the era, in that with age they became, and they indicate RPMs that are too high, by as much as twice or more than actual RPMs. This is because a resistor used to calibrate the tach reading. The resistor, if you want to look for it, is located between pins 4 and 10 on the circuit board. You can replace the resistor if you know the current value or install an adjustable potential meter to make calibrations even more accurate. I would suggest a detailed description of this repair you can probably find on the web. Another common Fiero tach problem is the tach filter. When this fails, the tach reading becomes erratic or quits completely. So the filter, if you're looking for that, is located near the ignition coil. GM no longer offers this part. However, Rodney Dickman makes a replacement. I would double check with RodneyDickman.com to make sure that that replacement is still available. So now we had mentioned the voltmeter. Every Fiero has a low voltage warning light. All 84 Fieros and all six cylinders also have the voltmeter. The voltmeter reads the electrical system's voltage. When you turn the key on, it will show battery voltage 12 to 12.5 volts. And after startup, the charging system voltage will go up to 13.5 to 14.5 volts, but it will vary with the load. These have a very problems, except for the occasional corroded or loose connection. When you clean those, just take a wire brush, clean those off nicely, and you should have less corroded, and there shouldn't be any loose connections on that. So the other important gauge that you want to kind of keep an eye on is your oil pressure gauge. An oil pressure gauge is used on all models 85 to 88. It is in the tach for the 85 to 88 four cylinders and in the housing above the radio in the six cylinder cars. So in the 86 to 88 six cylinders, you also have a low oil pressure light. Now in the 84 cars, they have only just the light. They don't actually have the gauge. If you have any problems here, it is likely an inaccurate gauge reading. 85 through 88 sender unit readings sometimes seem to jump up and down. A good oil pressure sender will have 0 ohms at 0 psi and 90 ohms at full scale. You want to unplug the sensor and the gauge should go over full scale. Ground the center wires in the plug and the gauge should go to 0. If it does, you want to replace your sending unit. All six-cylinder Fieros have an oil sender problem addressed in the service bulletin. Water gets in there and into the sender unit through a small hole on the end. You can repair it. Repair on the 85 to 87 cars involves installing a shield, which is part number 10096127, over the sender. Pretty simple. It just helps keeping the water and condensation out of there. Some people just put a dab of RTV over the hole. Done. On 88 cars, the sender has no hole but should be relocated from the end of the long metal tube toward the top of the engine to the hole just above the oil filter after having removed the long tube. Some report that the 88 sender is more reliable than the 85 to 87. But to put it in a non-88, the wire plug must also be changed. The fuel pump power also runs through the oil pressure sender, which is a marginal design at best, so be sure to use a good quality replacement part if you need to replace that oil pressure sender. So one thing that we want to go into next is where a lot of people have overheating. And sometimes their temperature gauge isn't working. Sometimes it's just not calibrated correctly. The temperature gauge is paired with the fuel gauge in the center of the instrument cluster. It has a few problems. The sensor on the four cylinder is on the top of the cylinder head behind the thermostat housing. And on the six cylinder, it is located at the left end of the head under the ignition coil. The two metal terminal ends at the sender do corrode or break. So repair plugs are available. The part numbers for those are 250-36628 for the 84s, 25-36809 for the 85 through 88 four cylinders and all six cylinders. Often, however, only the plastic end is bad. And again, check Rodney Dickman's website. He may or may not still have them. Sells this repair part for only about $3. Another problem is the temp gauge needle sticking at the full hot peg, or sometimes it falls off. This is from the needle slamming against the peg every time the engine is started. This is caused by a GM wiring glitch that puts a full 12-volt bulb test voltage not only to the bulbs in the instrument cluster but also to the temp gauge. With a simple wiring correction, this can be made to send the bulb test voltage to the temperature light instead. Unplug the wires at the temp sender by depressing the lock. Carefully remove both wire ends from inside the plastic plug. You're going to switch their positions and then reinsert them. Now, remove the upper cover behind the instrument cluster. This is the shroud that sits at the top with the three screws in there. Now, you must swap two wires here also. On the left side, horizontally, there's a wiring plug to the instrument panel, and then you're going to find terminal 11 marked on the plug. It is at the top row, second position in from the outside. On the right side, the vertical plug find position 13 on the plug for the 85 to 88s. It is on the outside row, fourth from the bottom. And the 84s, this is in position 6 on the connector 206 on the right side. Remove the two wires from the connectors. You're going to switch them. You may have to add wire to get them to fit, but now your temp gauge should now gently rise instead of slamming to full hot after starting. And then the last but most important gauge that always will fail, and you just have to guess how much gas you have in your tank, the fuel gauge. The fuel gauge itself seldom fails. I will say it fails all the time. But the sender unit in the tank sometimes does as well, as it lives in a pretty tough environment. Surrounded by and soaked in gasoline vapors and moisture, the resistance coil windings and the insulation fail over time, causing erratic and inaccurate readings. So it could say you got a full tank and you only have half a tank. You could have nothing in the tank and you could have a completely full tank. Some say this is aggravated by the alcohol in some modern fuels. This usually results in no fuel gauge reading at all, or more often the gauge slowly or higher reading than actual. The most common problem is the gauge not going below a quarter tank reading and running out of gas. So never trust a Fiero fuel gauge. When you see it down to a quarter tank remaining, fill it up. The resistance of the sender should vary from 0 to 90 ohms. It's very easy to change. You can change the sender. You must remove the fuel tank first. So again, it's very easy to change. Next topic that we will discuss, changing out the fuel tank. We're actually going to have a how-to video on that at some point to kind of help walk you through the process of removing the tank, changing out all of the fuel sending units and everything like that. So watch out for that at fierofocus.com. But for now, we want to thank Ray Dyerson for being our tech article writer. These tech articles do help anyone and everybody in the Fiero community. So we have many of them listed at fierofocus.com. Before Ray Dyerson, we had Ryan Gick, who was very detailed in his tech articles as well. So again, these articles written by Ray Dyerson will be put up on fierofocus.com and on our Facebook page. So if you ever have any problems with these two items, please check out those articles to help you get those items fixed and repaired. FieroCast is published through FieroFocus.com and is a production of the Northern Illinois Fiero Enthusiasts. Thank you for joining me tonight. I am your host, Mike Croyer, and thank you for listening to the award-winning and newest episode of FieroCast. This is episode 44, and it is the only podcast dedicated to the Pontiac Fiero and the Fiero community. If you'd like more information or have any ideas on any future FieroCast, you can email me at mkroyer@fierofocus.com. Remember to keep Fieroing, and good night, Fiero owners, wherever you are.